B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I just saw the greatest shirt.
It's a great shirt.
Rhonda, who we love. So Rhonda is our, what would you call her title? Production manager.
Yeah. I'll go manager title. Yeah,
so Rhonda's been in the business for a long time. She's the best, Rhonda. So Rhonda's got a shirt, and she gets all themed up, right? Like she's always down with everything. What's going on in sports?
Yeah, she tells me if your team wins, I wear your gear the next day.
Yeah,
or the following Monday.
Right. Now Rhonda's true blue, right? She's neighborhood West Philly girl, whole thing. So Rhonda has a shirt that says, "Yo, Stanley, we want the cup." It's bright orange, and she's got an orange blazer atop of it. Is that not a great look? Where did she get that shirt? That's a great t-shirt. Tyrone wears the shirts every day. He should wear that one.
See, I'm even trying to find it. I can't find it on the old
Where'd
Google.
Where'd she get it? I want to find it.
Maybe limited edition.
I actually want to wear one. Yo, Stanley, we want the cup. That's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
If we always find a way to turn it back to Rocky, it fits. Yo, Adrian, I did it.
I love it. Well, you know, we always do that. I know later on I need our playback, which is going to be like not really a playback. I need Saturday night set to the bells. All right, Andrew, that's your mission, Chunis. Saturday night set to the bells. Let's get back to the phones. Ray in Bethlehem. Ray, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. It's Greg.
Greg. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Pretty rough weekend for the Phils. You know, the only silver lining, if there is one, is seems like Hoskins is starting to hit the ball hard. So, you know, hopefully he can continue with that trend and maybe some of the other pieces can fall into place.
Yeah, I don't know, Greg. He still doesn't look. He's still looking to walk. He's still looking to try to get a walk. And I don't know. They're a disappointment, man. A major, where they are now, forget about, you know, pandemic and this is a weird kind of year, but where they are in their rebuild, Greg, I think is extremely disappointing.
Well, my biggest concern is that if you don't grow your own food, in other words, if you don't have a farm system, then you got to buy your groceries. And they don't, you know, they spent money on Harper, but they seem to shy away from doing anything more. And, I don't think you can win that way.
I agree. I mean, look at Kingery blows. I hate to say it, but that's kind of how I feel. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Kingery's a can't stand you now for me. And this Dustin Pedroia, what are you kidding me? He's a fake Dustin Pedroia. Hoskins, right. I don't think he'll generate enough power for you. They got no power. They've played a ballpark where, you know, a little bit of a wind, anybody can hit it out, and they got no power. Your only power guys are Harper, you got Bruce, who's 1,000 years old, and D.D.'s got a little pop.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, Hoskins at least doesn't stand there with the bat on his shoulders now that he's made some contact, and, you know, he can build on that. He's not where I expected him to be, but at least that's a glimmer of hope anyway.
Yeah, you got more hope than I do. I did like Howard. I think Howard, look, the kid's got life on his fastball, man. It motors. I'd like to see a little bit more movement, but I think the kid's a big league pitcher. I mean, he could be a two, I think, for you if all goes well.
Sure. Well, he just needs to keep the ball down and you know, when he and hit his spots. But yeah, I thought he had a lot of potential. He showed pretty good for the first outing.
Yeah. But you know, they're so far away. They're so far away from being any good.
Well, I don't know why, you know, considering the way Acuna and Freeman were hitting, I don't know why Joe just didn't hold up four fingers and send them down to first base.
Yeah,
those two guys killed them.
Yeah. Well, I hear you, brother. Greg, hang in there, my friend. What about the Flyers? May not fire it up today.
Oh, yeah, I was really impressed. I was glad the game wasn't longer. You know, did you think that they kind of hit a wall with about 4 minutes to play? All of a sudden, it, you know, they were chasing rather than establishing position. Like they ran out of.
I think you're kind of misconstruing packing it in with a lead, right? Like when you have that kind of lead, you got a 3-goal lead, you're in, you know, pack in mode, right? You're in. We're not going to take any chances. Right. I think that's kind of what you saw, brother. Listen, hang in there, buddy. I thought they finished the game properly, which is when you have that kind of lead, there's no need to take any chances.
Yeah, I don't think they were. I don't think they hit a wall. I think they were like, all right, let's just shore up this win. Let's get the one seed and let's get ready for Montreal Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, you know how it is when you play in that sport with a lead.
Yeah. I was
confused. You play a dangerous team. Tampa team's good. No Stamkos, but still, that's a great team.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, I know they're out, but how about that Toronto finish on Friday? When they're down 3-0 with.
They come back 3 goals.
4 minutes left.
And then finish it off in overtime. It was amazing. But you could almost smell it last night. They had nothing left.
Yep. Yeah, they used it all. Columbus, those last 4 minutes.
Yeah, Columbus, they owned them last night.
By the way, during that call, perfect timing popped up on social media, on Twitter. This is from Johnny Heller, who is the editor for Phillies Nation, the big Phillies blog. Uh-huh. He puts out this stat on social media, and it goes back to Greg's point about Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins is swinging at just 44.6% of pitches inside the strike zone, which is the lowest percentage in Major League Baseball.
Wow. That's a great stat.
I didn't know you could find that stat, but man.
Way to go, John. That's a great stat.
Think about that. He's swinging under half of the pitches in the strike zone.
Well, but
he's looking for walks.
This is where analytics meets the eye, right? It's where the two meet. Where the marriage happens. I'm looking at these two and I'm thinking he's looking at cookies. Right? We talked about it the other night.
Yeah, the 3-1 fastball.
He just sat and watched it.
And then he shrugged his shoulders like he knew he should have swung.
Yeah.
But he's so messed up in the head at the plate right now.
Yeah.
But what did the broadcast do afterward? Oh well, he worked the walk. Great job. He worked the count.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I don't care, dude. You're my two hitter.
Yeah.
You should be my cleanup hitter, probably. But, you know, you're a middle of the line of power guy. I'm not looking at him to walk. He gets on, he gets on. If he works a good at bat, he works a good at bat. But a 3-1 fastball down the middle of the plate, I need you swinging.
Yeah.
And now here's a problem for Hoskins. I looked at his batting average. I'm on the baseball reference right now. 172 this year. The more terrifying number is the one beneath that. It's his career average. It's down to 237.
Yeah.
His career batting average.
And when he came up, he was a contact guy. He was a kid made contact. He hit the ball all fields. I'm telling you, dude, they screwed him up 7 ways from Sunday. Klentak, Kapler, they killed him. And for the life of me, why is that not a story?
Great question.
Why is that not a story?
Because they're happy.
Why isn't he on a hot seat? Because people don't care? He's killed this franchise. Any hope you had for a rebuild, he's butchered it. He might be the worst GM in the history of general managers in Philadelphia with what he has to work with. with having John Middleton and the and his deep pockets.
Yep.
It wasn't like he, like Ed Wade didn't have a budget. The reason why he said about small market, and he was talking about the media package and how they were boxed in to from New York, from exit, you know, 8 of the turnpike of the Jersey Turnpike, and then you have Baltimore, you have Pittsburgh to the west, and he was just talking about the box into the media market. And that was before the explosion and where these cable companies realized how important non-DVR content is.
Right.
So that's what he said, what he really meant. We took it out of context. But he had an excuse. This guy, I mean, he was working on the real budget constraints.
Yep.
This guy isn't. They spent up until the luxury tax. It's a lot of money. Like, do I think they should go? Yeah, I do. But the problem is, they spent enough money that they should be a great team without going into the luxury tax.
Yeah. It's not like you have like an expiring contract.
What is he?
Right.
What talent has he produced? What talent?
Your guy Hazley.
He stinks. Hazley. Give me a break with the Hazley. There's nothing lamer than an outfielder with no pop. Seriously. What's he produced?
Yeah, Kingery's terrifying.
And he's had top picks.
Yeah.
And he invested in Kingery, too.
He gave him that big contract. Hoping that it would be team-friendly down the road. Hoping.
Hey, talk about losing that bet.
Meanwhile, they put up their top 10 prospect list yesterday before Howard's debut.
Yeah.
That Moniak's down. That Medina's down on the list now.
Yeah, because
I'm gonna be waiting on Adonis Medina for.
Because they stink. Because they can't play. They got one prospect left is Bohm. That you hope, but anybody they do, you got to look at with a raised eyebrow. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Hi, Dave.
I mean, you led into a few of my points. I just need to rant and complain, and like, I'm just disgusted with the Phillies right now. Like, first, like on the player side, one, they don't score unless they hit home runs. That's like the old. There's like, I know, like, it's all about launch angles and home runs now, but you can have a mix of both. Like, manufacture some runs. Like, they just, that is the only way they put up a number for runs is if they hit homers. And like Reese, like, I'm just like, he kind of ruined it for himself with those 18 home runs, like 34 games. Like, so he probably never was going to be that, but like, it just, he doesn't swing the bat. Like, and that guy just,
yeah, but think about this, David. I agree. I mean, listen, he was on that ridiculous clip. He got hot. He was on a great clip, but I don't know that he couldn't, he should be a guy that hits for consistent power. I'm not talking about otherworldly.
Kaplan destroyed him.
He did.
Destroyed him. He obliterated. Reese.
Yes.
And it should be a bigger. Like, why? Like, he. How does he get a job? Like, again, after doing that to a player. Like, and like, when is the last time the Phillies, if they ever have, when's the last time they found an Acuna or a Soto or a Tatis or a Lindor? When have they ever found that player?
No.
Like, in their history, in their entire, like, 1883
the
history,
have
they found that player?
Latin American player, the best player from Latin American, from that basin, is Juan Samuel. That's the best they've ever done.
Anthony, I was looking at the roster. 10, if you take their top 10 players, maybe 3 of them were drafted by the Phillies.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, they're
like, Jay Bruce is one of their 10 best players. Like, that's even a problem in itself. Like, how does Clint Tack have a job? How does he feel sufficient to go into this season with that bullpen?
Yes.
That's malpractice. He should be sued for malpractice thinking with
he's horrible.
This season with that.
And I don't understand why there isn't enough outrage over his performance. He's he's terrible. He can't mine any prospects. They got nothing. And you're right.
They have nothing.
His best attribute is he's a dumpster diver. He's a freegan. He goes in and looks at the Jay Bruce's.
Brad Miller, Corey Dickerson.
Yes.
I wish they kept Corey Dickerson.
But it's the same thing. Corey Dickerson, the problem with him is, A, he can't hit left-handed pitching, and he's a pitchfork in the field.
I love the Phillies. Like, I have a Phillies P tattooed on my body for the rest of my life. Like, I love them. It's just, like, this rebuild, they're still bad. So, like, had they even started the rebuild? Like, all this money they get, like, and I love Bryce, like, and he's not the problem. Like, so he's not even close to the problem.
Yeah.
But, like, Reese and Kingery and the fact that they have no homegrown prospects, like, Bohm, like, we don't even know what, like, he's a Phillies prospect. Dominic Brown was once the number one prospect in baseball.
I know.
So he had to take every Phillies prospect.
They have screwed it up a million ways. And again, here's the problem, right? We understand that the last time they were good, which is 10 years ago, right? The last time they were any good, there is a period of transformation, right? When you go from a World Series team and those guys get old, the Utleys and the Howards and Victorino, and you move on.
Howard tours Achilles.
Right. So whatever. We understand that there is a downturn before you can come back up again. So they were bad for a while, and then all the resources that they had, number one picks, right, top five draft picks, all that stuff.
Mickey Monia.
Right. It got you nothing. It got you squat. You can't just throw away all those assets.
Yeah, we're not the Pirates. We're not the Pirates.
Exactly.
Any rebuilds do not happen they can't happen in Philadelphia.
You're right on.
We're not Pittsburgh. Tampa Bay used to be that way. Yeah. They're really good now. But I do like Mick Abel, though, the pitcher they took this year. He's got some great stuff.
I thought the same thing. But David, listen, you're the best, man. Go Flyers, all right?
I got to be honest, Dan. I bet on them. I got 2,800 on the line if they win. I'm not a hockey guy. It's the only sport I don't follow. If they win, I'm happy. But if they lose, it doesn't bother me. But, right. I mean, I'm happy for the city, though.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Dave. Hang in there, buddy. A little bit of a buzzkill. Tom McGinnis.
Yeah. I got to find out.
Oh, that's a buzzkill. He bet on him.
All right, so he should be rooting
that's a
for
big,
him.
That's a big payout.
Big time.
2,800?
Oh, that's a buzzkill.
You know, I expect a little more of, go fly. At least give me that. At least
you wanted to play the song.
Yeah. Let's just fake it.
Chad Lawton will throw it wide to the empty net. He hits the goalpost. The loose puck on the rebound, and Giroux scores. Tactically, Tyler Pitlick jumps on it and puts it into the empty goal in the backhand, and that will ice it as the Flyers look like they're going to lock up the top seed for the first time going to the playoffs in 20 years.
That makes a smile. Thank you for me. Let's go to David. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on, Dave?
I'm all right. I'm the Ben Simmons guy that compared him to playing spades a while ago. Yeah. And I moved to New Haven, Connecticut.
You did?
But, yeah.
They have one of the greatest pizza joints in all the country. It's called in New Haven. It's called Pepe's.
Pepe's? I got to look for it.
We
also have the lowest rate of COVID-19 in the country.
Good for you, brother.
Bro, but, first of all, I want to say congrats to the Flyers. They're like the little brothers you love to see do well.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good.
I'm not a hockey guy, but that shows you the power of Ron Hextall, because that was the last time I really paid attention to hockey like that with him. So I'm very happy for the Flyers. But were you talking about the Phillies just now or Brett Brown?
The Phillies.
What you were talking about?
But it applies, my brother. It applies.
Listen, I just want to say preface this. I'm 48. I'm not a guy that ever roots to see the coach do bad. I've seen Jimmy Lytle, Matty Gukas, even Freddie Carter. The equipment manager, Tony DeLeo. I've seen Doug Moe.
Doug Moe!
Well,
how about your boy?
Was the, But at least here's the thing with Doug Moe. We knew that he was chasing a check.
Right.
See what I'm saying? He didn't.
How about your boy? How about your boy Eddie Princeton offense Jordan?
And guess what? He wasn't that great, but he at least tried something. I said all these guys coach the Sixers. And Brett Brown is the first time as a Sixers fan I've ever gotten up and walked away from my favorite team. Like, I literally have not seen games because I'm looking at this and I'm going, what do we as Philadelphia Sixers fans do to the organization for them to put us through this?
I know. I don't get it. I mean, the process.
You watch games and the announcers know what's wrong. Everyone knows who's wrong, but somehow Brett, and it's not even that Brett's a bad coach. I think how I view him, he reminds me of an AAU coach who goes, I've got a system and I don't care who plays in it. You're going to play in my system.
Yeah. You're right.
And no matter what happens, I'm not changing my system. So you'll let Ben not shoot for 4 years. Joel Embiid, because all you care, like I'll give you a problem. Yeah. But last night I called somebody again because I'm visiting my parents. The Sixers were up six. Jay Rich hits a big 3-point shot. They go up six. There's a little bit of a blown coverage. Carmelo hits a three. But he absolutely killed his own team's momentum because they weren't in the right spots. He won't call a timeout if they're looking like they're lagging. He'll call a timeout if you're not where you're supposed to be in my set. And I go back, 2 minutes later, come down, the Sixers are down by 5 points. They lose the game. And I'm like, I think I'm done. I just want to say thank you to people like yourself. Because you made my experience great when I was down here in Philadelphia.
Well, don't leave us for even, you know, we're just an app away, so don't go anywhere.
You're an app away? Well, you know, really quickly to let you know, too, something I never told you.
What's that, bro?
You're the reason why I still listen to this station. I'm from the entertainment industry. I'm a film producer. I always told children, a lot of people, you never want to meet who your favorite is. And there's someone on this station that was my favorite when I was growing up. And I finally called in, because I'm a brother. I don't come from a culture where we call sports radio, per se.
Yeah.
So I finally called in, and this dude was such an a-hole to me. And I said, I'm not calling this station no more. But then one day, I heard you, and I called you on the crap. I was ready for war, but you were so smooth that by the time I got on the phone, I said, I like this freaking guy. And I had never listened to you. So I want to tell you, thank you personally for being the sole reason why I did not walk away from the station, bro. And I thank you. And we did not agree.
God, you made my day.
Nah, you were. And I meant to call you before I left and say that. And understand, you and I did not agree.
Yeah,
and
well, I mean, who cares? Right. Like, to me, it doesn't, like, agreeing, it doesn't really matter. It's just connecting and have a good conversation. And maybe we both learn from the conversation, right?
Or exactly.
Opens our eyes up. Who knows, right? Like,
well,
that's the point.
All I want to say to you before I go.
Wait, before you go, I want to say something to you, man. I appreciate that. And keep me posted because I got a project I'm hoping goes through that we're, if everything goes well, we could be shooting in Philadelphia next year.
Oh, no, you'll know about it because it's a docuseries and the first city that we're documenting is the city of Philadelphia. So you'll know.
I love it, man. I love it, Dave.
Brother, I thank you.
God bless you.
Same to you, my man.
See you, brother. Oh, man, how about that, Jonas? That's nice.
That was awesome.
Makes you feel good. Well, that's cool. He's doing something. Like, anybody does anything creatively, we always like to point it out on the show. We highlight our Philadelphians. All right. Back to the phone calls coming up next, right after Brian Boucher, the Boosh, talking Flyers next. Then all your calls. Cause radio with the Tunis. Just moved to the strip club. Is that it? Let's talk about service first. Yes. Service first. I always tell you about my man, Brian, and service first. When it comes to heating and air conditioning, you got to know about service first. He's the man, Brian. All right. So here's the deal. You know, this 2020 has been a disaster, right? And I'm not dealing with air conditioning issues. It's blazing hot. I look and I see the global warming everywhere. It's blazing. I got to deal with air conditioning. And soon, you know, we're going to have some sort of ridiculous winter. So here's the deal. To make your home, and we're going to be, our home's like our haven, you got to use service first. They're terrific. They will come out and Brian did this to me. He goes, hey, there you go. I'm going to give you three estimates, a good, a better, and a best estimate. Pick the one that's good for your budget. You got 0% financing for 72 months on qualifying systems. Service First offers air purification solutions like air scrubbers, UV lights, media filters. Feel weird about letting someone in your home? I get it. Service First techs are so respectful and safety conscious, following CDC guidelines. They take every precaution to keep your home safe and clean. Look, for fast and friendly service throughout Pennsylvania, from a trained comfort specialist, Mitsubishi, Diamond, preferred dealer, visit servicefirsthvac.com, servicefirsthvac.com, and tell Brian that Cuz says hi.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
11:30 across the Delaware Valley. Hope everybody's enjoying their Monday. Sports is back Monday. We're bemoaning two of the teams. Bemoaning the Sixers and the curse of the process. Bemoaning the Phillies and the curse of Klentak. That's all that's going on there. However, when we look toward, we look north and look toward Toronto, the NHL Eastern Conference bubble has been a joyous one. Celebrating the Flyers as the playoffs begin. We know Flyers in Montreal. It's going to be Carter Hart versus his idol, Carey Price. It's going to be incredible. And a guy who has done phenomenal job, absolutely phenomenal. I've watched all the time, and he's killing it. And he's one of our own, and really proud of him. And we always appreciate his time. The great Boosh, Brian Boucher on the Comcast Business Hotline. Boosh! What's going on, brother?
How you doing?
Good. Dude, you're killing it. Killing it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No, listen.
I do.
And you know me. We know each other well enough that I wouldn't say that to you. I would be friendly with you and love you, but I wouldn't go over. You're doing phenomenal job, brother. Really.
Great. Thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, a real unique situation, right, where we're inside a bubble. And, you know, I feel really honored and lucky to be here because there's a lot of media members that are on the outside and not able to get inside. And the fact that I've been inside the bubble, it's been a lot of work. But at the same time, I can't tell you how much fun it's been. It's really been it's been an amazing experience so far. And I'm grateful to be here. So I'm happy you're enjoying the work. I'm happy to be here. And hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, everything keeps going smoothly.
So what are you, we're all excited, Philadelphia, about the Flyers and just the dominant performance. Again, Saturday night, first of all, the kid comes up with two breakaways. He stones Kucherov in one of them. He was absurd again. And they then smothered, locked down Tampa and to get the one seed. How are you looking about these Flyers?
I mean, I'm really impressed with the way that they've played. I think of, you know, there's some teams that have impressed me in the East. I mean, Carolina was impressive in their win against the Rangers. They've got some young, dynamic players. Columbus, what they did against Toronto was impressive. All the star power that they lost to free agency, yet they just find a way to continue to do a job. But the Flyers and what they've done, they've just surgically gone about their business and dismantled three really good teams in the round robin. Now I don't know if we should get ahead of ourselves because they are round robin games. And I will say that those games did not have the same intensity as the qualifying round games. And it's understandable why it was that way. I mean, these guys, they, you know, you could go 0-3 and there were no real ramifications, right? Aside from having the number four seed. So, I want to, you know, pump the brakes a little bit on, you know, how good the Flyers look. Of the four round robin teams, they were the best. They defended well. Their goaltending was very good. You know, guys that, the depth of the roster helped out. You know what I mean? Like Lawton really stepped up big in this round robin. He looked fantastic, but the addition of guys like Grant and Thompson, the role players, I mean, you know, key faceoff wins, good job on the penalty kill. They did a really good job of helping out in their own zones. I mean, these are things that are going to help, win in the long run. But again, it's round robin. You know, when the puck drops on Tuesday and round one starts, that's when we'll start to really judge this team.
So tell us about the Canadiens a little bit. And, you know, we all thought that Pittsburgh would benefit a lot from the getting healthy from the restart, and the Price played fantastic and, they were able to beat them. I mean, what kind of challenge do the Canadiens face?
Yeah, they got a great goaltender, and I think Price played a big role in the first three games. Not so much in the clinching game in Game 4. I thought, you know, the Canadiens did a great job in Game 4 of really frustrating Pittsburgh and not allowing, you know, their offense to take over. You know, the speed through the neutral zone wasn't there. But I was also disappointed in Pittsburgh's effort. I thought it was pathetic the way they played in Game 4. There was no heart. There was no willingness to go through the wall to try and find a way. They didn't draw penalties. Basically, it looked like they laid down in Game 4, which was disappointing to see. But you know, the Canadiens are a team that they've got three big defense. And they got a goaltender, and that's what their team is. So, you know, Price is huge in goal, but Shea Weber, Ben Chiarot, and Jeff Petrie on the back end, those are the guys that the Flyers are going to have to find a way to make it difficult to play against. For Chiarot and Weber, these are big, bruising guys that play a hard style of game, and the Flyers are going to have to find a way to get inside on them. They're going to have to find a way to get second and third chance opportunities. If they can wear them down, you know, it'll go a long way in getting to Carey Price. Because after that, the Canadiens, I mean, truthfully, they had some guys that underperformed in that series against Pittsburgh. You know, Philip Deneau, Brendan Gallagher, and Thomas Tatar, their top line, yeah. they were quiet. They were quiet in that series, and yet they still won because they had some performances from some other guys. And they had some young guys that stepped up and played well. Jesperi Kotkaniemi, a third overall pick a couple of years ago, had a disappointing regular season. Looks like a different player in the playoffs right now, or at least he did in that Pittsburgh series. Same thing with Nick Suzuki. I mean, I don't think he had a disappointing. He had a good season, but he's a player that I look at him on, wow. You know what I mean? Like, a good player. But they don't have the horses up front. Philadelphia should be okay with this opponent. Like, this is a big victory for the Flyers to finish first and get the Montreal Canadiens. If it's not Carey Price and those three defense that I mentioned, there's not much on this team.
Yeah, and you look at the Flyers, and one of the things that's really come about during the restart in the round robin tournament was their depth. I mean, different guys are scoring. Look, Voracek sat the other night. He's had veteran JVR sat. I mean, and yet this team is so deep. And it's been smothering teams.
It has. And you know, that's a credit to the coaching staff and what Alain Vigneault has been able to get these guys to do. And credit to Chuck Fletcher as well. I mean, recognizing at the deadline didn't make any sexy moves, right? I mean, right. You had Derek Grant, you had Nate Thompson, and people are probably, you know, scratching their head saying, who? What? But, you know, recognizing that you need you know, guys down the lineup that can, you know, penalty kill, that can do the intangibles, that can win key faceoffs, and kind of take some heat off of guys like, you know, Couturier. And, you know, look, you know, Scott Lawton's a good player, right? And I think for years, I think people, you know, just assume that he's a bottom six guy, but he had himself a heck of a, a heck of a start to that qualifying or to the round robin. And you know, he's gaining confidence. I think Kevin Hayes looked terrific. You know, even Joel Farabee getting in that last game and scoring and playing a prominent role, that goes a long way. You know, when you need all hands on deck and a long run, it goes a long way. You can't just rely on one or two guys. If you can start getting some of your depth players to start chipping in, that's where special things can start happening. And I think the Flyers right now got off to a good start. But like I said, I think you gotta pump the brakes a little bit, understanding that it was the round robin. They should beat Montreal. There's no question in my mind they should beat Montreal. They should beat them easily. And I don't think they're gonna get into a situation where they're gonna get frustrated like Pittsburgh was. I think Pittsburgh wanted to play a game where it's gonna be an easy game. Guys like Malkin, they want to be able to skate and have ice. And the minute you start leaning on those guys and it gets a little bit difficult, you saw, I mean, they ended up caving. And I don't see anybody on this Flyer roster that would have that same type of mentality. I think the Flyers are not an entitled team. I think they've got a lot to prove. Pittsburgh maybe having won two Stanley Cups in the last couple of years, maybe they felt like they were good. You know, they're all set. But this Flyer team, I see a bunch of guys that are hungry, and I don't think they're going to overlook Montreal. I think that they know that they got a great opportunity here, and they're going to try and build off the confidence that they built in that round robin.
Yeah, I think you really suss it out. I mean, when a guy like Vigneault, we're talking to the great Brian Boucher, and we know we'll get you off in just a moment. When he makes these kinds of lineup changes, how does that go over in the room?
I think when when a guy like JVR gets scratched, I doubt he's happy about it, right? I mean, right. I'm sure he's not thrilled. Voracek, I'm not really sure. I think that was more of an unfit to play type of situation, although I'm not entirely sure on that. It's hard to get information, with regard to that type of stuff, but, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure the player is not thrilled about it, but I think the mentality of the group is that, it's about winning. It's about,
right.
Putting the team first. And, you can't get sore over decisions that the coach makes. You know what I mean? And I think that even though JVR is a veteran guy and, you know, he's got a big price tag on there, you got to understand that, look, maybe you need a little bit more. And I think there's nothing better than sending a wake up call like that to say, hey, look, Joel Farabee's waiting in the wings. If you're not going to bring it, you know what I mean? And I think that'll get the best out of JVR. And JVR is a pro. I mean, he knows that he has to be better, but in fairness to JVR too, I mean, I don't know that he gets the opportunities that he probably thought he was going to get in Philadelphia when he signed. I mean, I think he was thinking like first PP unit, net front, after they got rid of Wayne Simmonds, and it hasn't played out that way. So in fairness to him, I think, he hasn't gotten those types of looks that he probably thought he was going to get. But at the same time, a guy like JVR, I mean, I think he's not a big bruising winger by any stretch, but I think there's more in his game that he can bring 5-on-5 that'll get the attention of Alain Vigneault and maybe help with his playing time. Because, when he gets going, I mean, he can score 20, 25 goals with his eyes closed because he's good around the front of the net. He's a big body. But sometimes you just need to poke and prod a guy like that a little bit. And if you do it and you get the most out of him, then that's good coaching.
Boosh, you're the best. We love you. We know you got a lot of busy stuff ahead of you. So we'll be bothering you throughout the playoffs, man. Thanks, brother. Enjoy and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Anthony. Great talking to you, man. Be good.
Thanks, brother. You too, man. There he is, the great Brian Boucher from the bubble in Toronto. Interesting because Boosh is really measured, right? And he's very even keeled. And he says, look, don't get too crazy with the round robin. And I don't think he was doing cold water as much as he was saying, hey, just remember there is some context with the round robin.
Yeah, I mean, he was making the point about the intensity, right? You weren't going to get eliminated if you didn't finish as one of the top two seeds. You were just going to get as low as the fourth seed. But I still think there was an importance to it, especially for a team like the Flyers. I mean, you feel a lot better going 3-0 to start the playoffs than going 0-3 or then going 1-2, or then losing your last game in the round robin. So to me, I think I get it. Maybe there's not that same intensity, but there's got to be a mindset like, well, we just knocked off the three best teams in this round robin based off seeding to start. We knocked them off, and now we're the best team. I think that will go a long way. I get what he's saying, but I think it still goes a long way.
Yeah, I do too. I also think that let's face it, they're incredibly deep. And I think being incredibly deep that way, I think that travels. I think that's real. I think that transcends just a, you know, round robin. Like, I get it. Like, you're not going to, there wasn't like true playoff hockey, and you'll get true playoff hockey come Wednesday night. But I'll be honest with you. I look at this Canadiens team, and yeah, Carey Price is ridiculous. And he's right. They got some good defensemen. But Flyers should roll this team.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. If it's not a sweep, it's 4-1.
I like that. I like the sound of that. We'll be partying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Let's go to Chester in Lansdale. Chester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hello, Chester.
Hey, I was just listening earlier, and I mean, you had a caller before that had a great conversation about the Phillies, but he kind of disappointed me when he wasn't so enthusiastic about the Flyers clinching the first seed.
Right.
And I mean, I do agree with Boucher. I mean, he's right. Like, you can't like toot our horn because it was just round robin, but the intensity that the Flyers showed is the same intensity that they showed towards the end of their 10-game winning streak before the season ended. And I just think that, I'm excited. Like, I just
I'm with you, Chester. I agree with you. I think they're really, really good. I mean, when you're looking at other guys, the amount of guys that have been big contributors, right? Like, every game, it's somebody else, which really speaks to their depth. They're really good defensively. I mean, look, the one thing about what they did against Washington, they owned Ovechkin all year. I mean, that wasn't just a bubble restart game. They already owned Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm. And I'm be honest with you. Like, I'm a novice hockey fan. Like, okay. Flyers are what got me into hockey. But, you know, I pay attention enough to know that the Flyers have something special going on right now. And if they just continue on believing what they're doing. And
yes, that's good. I'm glad you're in, man.
Like, I'm in all the way.
That's cool, man. I like that. Chester, you're my man. I like it. Enjoy it, brother, all right?
Yeah, you have a good night. Good
day. You too, buddy. Look at that. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear from people that, you know, they're not a puckhead like us and other people, you know, the inside people, right? I like when the other people get involved. That's what makes it fun. When everybody's on board, it's like a party, right?
Yes.
Like, you and I like a party.
I'm a big party man.
You know, this wasn't the pandemic. Of course, there wouldn't be hockey now, but we'd be partying with everybody down at the beach, watching games.
Watch parties, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we'd be having a blast with the whole thing. The idea of when a team goes on a run and the whole town jumps on board. Again, I always talk about those runs and those moments because it gives us everything, something to connect with, connect through, right? Like, we all connect through these teams and when they make these kinds of runs. And that's the beauty of sports and why we love it so much here. Is that we connect it through everything. That's the cool thing.
Yeah, and once people are jumping on board, and I think if they're not yet, they have to be Wednesday, right? People have to be jumping on board. I think we're starting to get more and more. I mean, they're the top seed. I was saying this on Saturday. That's a city pride thing, right? The team in your, whether your hockey is your fourth in the pecking order, fifth behind MLS, I don't care. When it's your squad that's the top seed of its respective conference, that's something you got to feel pride for. I'm not the biggest soccer fan, but yes. I was riding the Union until they lost to Portland. Because yes. they're from my city, and that's something that we should be pumped up about.
Yes, 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 yes. I agree. Great stuff. All right. Let's get it back to the lines. Coming up next, I want to hear from all you people that are jumping on and want to make it a party. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. It's Cuz Radio with the Junis right here. 97.5 The Fanatic. Baxter time. How many times am I going to throw Clint Tack into Baxter?
How many games are left in the season? That many times.
I do it all the time, and he keeps getting out. Why, Andrew? Why does Matt Clint Tack keep crawling out of the Baxter? Stay in there, Matt. Stay in the Baxter. You doing any kind of renovations for your home? I don't know. Big cleanups, basement, garage, trying to get your fall cleanup schedule in order. I got it for you. Oh, the Bagster. That's right. All these projects, the Bagster bag, the by far the most convenient, affordable way to help you clean up Bagster. What a product. The 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores, and for only $29.99. It's $29.99. Bagster, easy to use. Whatever your cleanup plans are, again, the garage, the attic, your remodeling, Bagster bag takes it all, man. It's a 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag, holds 3,300 pounds of waste. My man Marco from Crow Construction, all the pro contractors, they all use the Bagster. Go to thebagster.com, find the store nearest you for more details. Anthony Gargano, time to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in a bag.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.